What's going on, guys? Welcome to episode 47 of the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. With me this morning, I have Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up, Bob?
Nothing, man. Finally back from CES.
Yeah, winding down.
Yeah, you sound like you're sick.
I am sick. Stupid CES. Actually, I blame travel, because I was fine all week.
Yeah, same here. I got back, I was good, and then, like, yesterday, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, it's just like a head cold, I think, but...
Yeah.
I don't even want that, you know? Being sick sucks.
Yeah, it's never fun, so... But I think I have, like, the post CES blues. Like, I want to go to meetings and do stuff, not sit around it and write reviews be at home too. I'd like to be back in Vegas. So,
agreed.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a slow week, I guess. Just kind of readjusting to the normal daily grind, I think.
Yeah, getting yourself back into it.
Yeah, for sure. So, this week we didn't post any reviews. Sort of a catch-up week for everything. But we do two pretty cool articles.
Yeah.
First, we'll start with your article, which is part of your Water Cooling 101 series. Right. And that is the part four. And yep. It is called Your Parts Arrive, Now What? So what is that all about?
Basically, when you get water cooling gear, you have to prep it in order to use it. So I kind of went over the process of what you need to do. The biggest thing with it is that radiators are, you know, they're built in kind of an industrial way. So there is solder inside them that keeps the parts together. And this, the better radiator companies, this will be flushed out a lot more. But I've never seen one that was completely clean. So you still got to go through and you got to flush stuff out of them. I kind of do the same thing with all of my blocks, too, just in case. So you flush them with vinegar, that loosens stuff up, and then you flush them with distilled water after that. So that's basically it. In our case, we also had some tubing that had some lettering on it, so I went ahead and showed everyone how to remove the lettering if you don't want that on there. And that's basically it for prepping your water cooling stuff. Oh, you got to... I also recommended checking all your electronic stuff, like your fans and your radiator, or your pump, so that once you get going, you don't find, like, you just spent 2 or 3 hours installing, and you filled the loop, and then you switch it on, and you find that your pump doesn't work. So, I think I just covered just the basics on making sure all your gear is ready to go for installing your loop, so we'll get into more of the installation next time.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I had no clue about, you know, that stuff, like what you had to do.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people think they just get something, they install it, you're ready to go.
And people do, but when you do this, our radiators were fairly clean this time, but I've had radiators where you do this and you've got, like, it's like you're washing, like, almost like, I don't know how to describe it, just tons of black crap comes out of it. And you catch that in a bucket.
Yeah.
So you don't want that in your loop. That, if that stays in your loop, right, it'll clog up all the microchannels in your blocks, like your CPU block. It can ruin the – if you use a dye or a coolant, it can ruin the color in the dye or the coolant and cause it to change because it'll change the pH in the loop. It can encourage growth of bacteria and stuff. So you really – yeah, you definitely want to get this stuff out.
Yeah, it's really, like I said, this the whole Water Cooling 101 series is just really, really good because if you're a first-time water cooler, you don't know that much about the process. Derek has really gone kind of down deep of, you know, what everything is and what the different parts do. And again, just like with this article, once you get your parts, what you need to do the correct way, you know, just like he said, so you don't have those problems. So it's really good. And we have a whole section with all the articles listed. So if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't checked out any of the articles, you can go through and, you know, just just start from the beginning. Like I said, this is episode 4, right? Yeah. So there's 3 other episodes before that, and we'll have a bunch after. So just, you know, if you're looking to get into water cooling, this is definitely the article to check out for sure. So, talking about water cooling, when we were at CES, we saw a good amount of case mods, and I think that that just speaks to how big the community is getting. And I think that every major company had a mod at their booth. I think that, you know, especially the bigger companies, motherboard companies and things like that, they had at least one, if not a bunch, of case mods at their booths.
Yeah, for sure, I agree. And I think more this year than ever before.
Yeah, so it was like everybody I knew who I've been following as far as their mods, like a lot of the mods we even covered on Case Mod Friday were actually at CES, which is cool because this this not only shows like the growth of the community, but it also shows that, you know, these guys are making a, not making a full-time living, but, you know, might make some extra money by, you know, selling their mods to a company or a company con. A lot of companies will contract these modders to build something for them for the show. So it does become sort of a business for them, which I think is really awesome. So we posted a good amount in there. I'm trying to think what my favorite was. One of the cooler ones was at Thermal Take. Somebody made a mod that was sort of like made out to be like a tank, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And obviously fully water cooled and all of that. We also got to see the Star Wars mod at MSI, and we actually interviewed the modder on that. We actually posted that video. But a lot of cool mods. It's always cool to see what people can do with cases, and obviously with water cooling components and everything like that. It's just really, really cool. And obviously with CES, it it allows companies to show off their products in a really cool way. You know,
yeah,
it brings a lot of attention when you walk into a suite and there's just this awesome case mod there, you know, and it has the company's, you know, either SSDs or motherboard or graphics card inside.
Yeah, I think it's one of the best ways to show off your product.
Yeah, so really, really cool stuff in there. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, that one was one of my favorites. The Star Wars one was cool. We saw a lot of Thermal Take Core P5 mods.
Oh, all over.
I wouldn't say they're mods. It was more or less builds, you know.
Yeah, it's just because it shows off components so well.
Yeah, it shows off. We saw one. Newegg had one. Obviously, Thermal Take had a bunch.
Pluxter had one.
Yeah. I think that's the...
Gosh, that's not it, though. There was a bunch.
Yeah, UCZ had one. I think that case is just so great because it is great for just showing off components, right? So if you have something you want to show off, this is sort of like a very, you know, the case is very, very easy to show off components, which is great.
It's as much window as you can get. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's really, so really cool.
Good for Thermal Take. It's good advertising.
Yeah, for sure. Since, like, pretty much everybody had one of... Had a build using that case. So, and again, the case isn't super expensive either, which is really nice.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I liked, like, Gigabyte had a whole series of mods all lined up as test machines. I thought that was pretty cool, because a lot of times you won't see them use, like, mods necessarily, or full builds for that kind of a setup, but they did, so that was cool.
Yeah, so did MSI. Okay. MSI had the same thing as Gigabyte. They had a big sort of ballroom. Mm-hmm. And they had a ton of mods set up and builds and all of that. Just like you said, like as test machines and just showing off, you know, the motherboard inside of all these builds. So it was really, really
cool. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Gigabyte was – they were really trying to show off the new video card series.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely. Like they had an Oculus set up there on one, and yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, it's great to see this, and it's obviously great to get recognition for all of these guys who are doing this, because a lot of these are pretty much like works of art, and they take a whole lot of time to build, so
yeah.
It's good to see them getting shown off in a public setting.
Definitely.
So, we're going to jump into news, and there's some things from CES that we didn't really cover last week in our live episode. So, we're going to go into some of these. Some of the things that I thought were really cool that we didn't really cover last week that were just from CES, and I think that, you know, shed some light on if you didn't know about it.
It's worth mentioning.
Yeah, the first one is that MSI has two new motherboards that they announced at the show. And these both are part of their Carbon series. So they're based on boards that are already out, but they've added a few features to both of them. So the first board is the... I'm trying to find it. is the it's the X99A Godlike Gaming Carbon. So we saw the X99A Godlike Gaming that came out probably November-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously based on the X99 chipset. But this one is the Carbon version. So obviously they've changed the color around and they've added the carbon fiber on a lot of the different components, which makes it look really, really cool. Another cool thing that they added is, you know, this year we saw shielding on the PCI Express slots. They've gone ahead and added shielding to the memory slots on this as well. So it's really cool, I think.
Yeah, I think the shielding is one of the better things that they're doing these
days. Yeah, and people don't realize the shielding is not just for looks. It protects the actual slot. Right? So I've seen people break PCI Express slots. I've broken them in the past. the same thing happens with memory as well. So it's just good to have that protection on there, especially with an X99 board and you have 8 memory DIMMs. You know, this is good for that. So I think that was really cool. And the second one is the Z170A Pro Gaming Carbon. That is also based off the Z170A Gaming Pro. So same type of board, obviously color change, adding the carbon fiber. With this board, they also, when the Z170A Gaming Pro was launched, it had 2 USB 3.1 Type A ports. Now they've changed it around where you get a Type A and you get a Type C. So we have, you know, it's compatible with all those brand new Type C devices that we saw at CES, which is really cool. And these both should retail around the same price as the counterpart. Maybe a little bit of price difference, but not much. And these boards are fully loaded out with everything that you would want. You know, you've pretty much everything that you would expect.
Gotcha.
In an X99 board and in a Z170 board, and they're beautiful boards. I did a video on it, and I really, really like them. Really, really beautiful boards. So
nice.
Yes.
Maybe something for your next build.
Yes. Talking about builds, Thermaltake announced a pretty much the end of their Core X series. So the Core X series was launched last year at CES, and it was the Core X 1, the Core X 2, and the Core X 9. So the X 1 was Mini ITX, the X 2 was Micro ATX, and the X 9 was EATX. So the X 9, while it was good, it was massive. It's a big case. It's really long. Has a lot of room inside, but not everybody needs that much room. So this year they launched the Core X5, which is basically the X9 but a shorter version. It's not as big, and it fits ATX motherboards. So they've kind of completed that line with this. I think it's a really, really good case. It's a cube style case, but it's obviously bigger because it does fit that ATX form factor. And it's just really good to have that now, because instead of, you know, if you wanted to build something big in a Core X case, it had to be an X9. Now you can kind of step it down and make it not as big. But again, you still have room inside. You can do a full water cooling loop. You can do all that kind of stuff. Still a lot of space inside, but just not as massive as the Core X9. And I'm not sure if I have the price listed. I think it's going to be around like 130 or 140.
Well, on the little card in the photo, it says 169.
Yeah, that's the ring edition, though.
Okay.
So the ring edition will come with their ring fans, which are really awesome fans. But I think the normal edition will be like 149, 139, something like that.
Okay. Cool.
But yeah, it's just a good case. It's good to see them kind of complete that series and offer something different than what's already out there. Because I knew there was a big demand for it, just a smaller X9, and this is basically what this is.
Yep, cool.
Yes. And back to MSI. They had a really cool gaming PC, the 4K gaming PC. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Mac Pro, which is basically sort of like a cylindrical type device. This is very much like that, except for it's made by MSI and it's made for gaming. So basically, very small form factor, again, sort of like the same cylindrical type design, has a desktop class processor, and it has 2 mobile graphics cards. So their whole thing is they want to bring 4K gaming to the living room, and this will be the device that does this. There'll be a couple different versions. You'll get either two GTX 980 graphics cards inside there, or you'll get two GTX 960, obviously running an SLI. They are the mobile graphics cards, just because it has to fit that form factor, but they are running an SLI, so you should have very good performance here.
Yeah, the 980s for sure.
Yeah, we don't know pricing yet. It's called the Vortex, and the reason it's called that is because there's a fan at the top that pushes air down and cools everything off and exhausts out the bottom. Really cool design. We've seen a lot of companies, you know, they're trying to bring 4K gaming to the living room, and this is just great because it's an all-in-one system. You don't have to do anything. You just, you know...
Yep.
It's basically just plug it in and you're good to go. Very high performance. And I believe it had it has Skylake Core i7 chips inside. So and you can get up to 64 gigabytes of DDR4 as well. So it's just a really cool, and it is extremely small. You should watch the video that we have in the post just to see how small it is. You know, something that you could easily pick up and take with you places too. Really, really cool machine. And it looks awesome, I think, too. So yeah.
Sorry.
Do you, like, fall over?
No, I sneezed. I'm dying over here, guys. Sorry.
But, yeah, that's just really cool. Expect it to be quite expensive just because it is such a small form factor and what's inside. Obviously... going to be pretty expensive.
It looks really nice though, and it should be more than enough for 4K.
Oh yeah, definitely more than enough for 4K. They were demoing it with 4K content and everything. It's just really, really cool.
You could probably run VR on that, to be honest.
And they had a demo with VR too.
Did they? Okay.
Yes.
So there you go. That's actually a really cool unit for VR.
Yeah, I like the form factor. It's very small.
And like, I see VR more like as a living room thing, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you need the space.
Once they release the motion sensors, you're gonna need that room. So yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I really like that. I think it was a CES Innovations Award honoree as well.
Nice.
So really cool design. Just you know that they are able to fit so much in such a small form factor is really cool. So we'll move on from that to EVGA, and EVGA was showing their first ever gaming laptop at the show. It is the SC17, and what's really cool about it is they took a lot of time to really design this. So, you know, EVGA, they make graphics cards, they make power supplies, and they make motherboards, and they kind of combined all into one with this. And what's really cool about this is that, one, it's a powerful machine, 4K display. You have Intel Skylake i7. You have up to a GTX 980 inside.
Mobile or full 980?
Mobile.
Okay.
GTX 980M graphics. But one thing that they've done is they made it sort of customizable in the fact that you have a true BIOS, much like you would see on a motherboard.
Oh, really?
Which is really cool.
Yeah, so, you don't see that a lot of times.
You never see that.
Laptops.
In the processor that's inside, a lot of times when you get laptops, the processor is a locked processor. The processor that's in here is fully unlocked, so you can go into the BIOS and you can overclock. You can go into the BIOS and you can change the timings on your memory. You know, you can go to pretty much everything you can do on desktop, they've designed that you can do here. There's even a button on the – there'll be two different buttons. There's one that's an instant overclocking button that will instantly overclock the system. Two, there's a button on there that allows you to reset the CMOS, much like you would have on a motherboard. So if you're changing the settings and you mess them up, you can easily fix that. I thought that was extremely cool. You know, just the when you have a desktop PC, you have the ability to really fine-tune it and change things to your liking. They've brought that to to a laptop, and they're the first company to really ever do that. And again, it's just a powerful laptop too on top of that.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really, really cool. I'm a sort of a BIOS motherboard nerd, so I thought that was really cool because you never get that. You never get the ability to do things like that on a laptop. You just don't. You know, to tweak things and overclock and do what you want. Now you have the ability to do that in a laptop, and a really powerful laptop at that too. So I thought that was pretty badass.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know price. It should be out in February, though, so coming very soon. Nice. Yeah, so EVGA took a lot of time on that, so I really like that. And we also got to see OCZ's latest Revo drive. So the Revo drive has been very, very popular for OCZ. It is sort of their prosumer, because it's not so much enterprise. It's more or less right. Their prosumer drive. It's always been PCI Express based. And now we're on the Revo drive 400. And the 400 is super fast.
Yeah, I think that might be the fastest read speeds.
Yeah, so 2.7 gigabyte read, 1.6 gigabyte write, PCI Express. It's an M.2 in a P. You can either get it in a typical just M.2, or you can get it in an M.2 that sits in a PCI Express adapter.
Right, right.
Obviously, it is a all Toshiba IP. So if you didn't know,
right.
Was it last year? Toshiba bought OCZ, and they obviously allowed OCZ to operate on its own, but they're using all Toshiba IP. Hertz. Yeah, so you have Toshiba NAND on there. It's just super fast. They showed us a demo, and it's just, it's like, yeah. I want one of these now. It's going to come with a 5-year warranty. Don't know price. As far as capacities, you're going to get a 128, a 256, and a 512 gigabyte. On there, so just probably higher than that as it comes out too.
Yeah.
So just a really good, really good drive. We also got to demo the OCZ SSD Guru software, the new version, and they've really redone it. It really looks nice too. So if you have an OCZ drive and you're used to the SSD Guru software, they're gonna be coming out with a new version as well that looks really awesome. And it just works really well. Allows you to, do secure erase and manage your SSD, and obviously do error testing and things like that. So it's really cool.
Cool.
It's always nice to see things at CES that are going to be coming out or that you don't normally get to see just yet.
Oh yeah, I think that's the funnest part.
Yeah. So we saw that drive, and Mushkin actually showed us a 4 terabyte SSD. So, and the thing about this is it's really cool how they've done this, because their reactor drive, which has just been updated to 2 terabyte, is based on the Silicon Motion SM2246EN controller. That controller has just recently been updated to support 2 terabytes, but this is a 4 terabyte drive, so how do you actually do that? Well, they've actually put 2 drives on 1 drive.
Is it internally rated?
Yeah, it's internally rated. 2 drives on 1 drive to get up to 4 terabyte. It should perform pretty well. And it's what's great about it is they're looking at a price of $500 for a 4 terabyte drive, which is not terribly expensive.
No, not for 4 terabytes.
Yeah, but this was just a prototype. It's not out yet. It should be out later this year. But it's just cool to see that them doing this. I know a lot of people, when it comes to SSDs, are looking for that higher capacity. We do know Samsung's going to be coming out with a 4 terabyte this year. SanDisk is going to be coming out with a 4 and an 8 terabyte, I believe, too. Huh. So the higher capacities are coming out. Mushkin, again, is bringing it to market for around 25 cents a gigabyte, which is very inexpensive for this. So it was pretty cool that they were able to do that. Basically two drives in one that work the way it should. So that's really cool. They didn't have a working unit yet. Obviously, what they showed us was it should work, but they didn't have a demo system or anything like that to show us. So,
but yeah, no idea on speeds or anything?
It should be around the same speeds as the reactor, which I believe is around 500 megabytes a second.
Okay. So middle of the road.
Yeah. Yeah. So the reactor line is their sort of, it's not super, super high performance, but it's better than, their Eco 3 line is their sort of entry level, and then you have the mid range, which is the reactor.
Okay.
So, yeah, pretty cool to see that. Obviously, you know, capacities are increasing, so I'm pretty excited. This year, you'll see a lot of higher capacity drives come out at very inexpensive prices. So prices of SSDs keep on going down, which is only a good thing. So,
definitely.
So, yeah. So we are back to regular news this week. That was pretty much everything from CES. Yeah. Obviously, with all of our CES news, thinkcomputers.org/CES2016, everything is there. I think we have close to 100 articles from the show, so that's a lot. I think.
Yeah, I think we did it.
Yeah, so
we crushed it.
So we have over 100 videos and close to 100 articles this year. So a lot of stuff there, definitely worth checking out. But we'll move to regular news this week. And not that long ago, EK released their EK XLC Predator, which is their all-in-one water cooling units, and it looks like they're recalling all of them.
All of them.
Uh-oh. The recall was issued due to possible leakage problems. They had a statement on their website as well as their Facebook page, and they're basically, they've fixed it. There's a revision 1.1 that came out on January 4th that fixes the problem, so all you have to do is contact them, send your unit back, and they'll send you a new one. Or they'll just give you your money back, either way. So it's good of them to kind of come out and be like, okay, we messed this up, we'll fix it. I don't think it's a huge blunder because, again, they're just doing the right thing, right? They're saying
it. It's just bad in general, though.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
That's a recall, yeah. That many. But what is the problem?
I believe...
Is it changing the shape when it's tightening down?
I'm not specifically sure.
Because it looks like they're changing the back plate and the gasket, right? Yeah. It's probably putting too much pressure on the block, the mounting arms of the block, and it's probably bending it.
Yeah.
Which is causing it to leak at the CPU. That's interesting. Never thought of that happening.
Yeah, so it looks like they noticed this issue, but they didn't think it would cause such a big problem. And after further, I don't know if this happened to a lot of people or what the deal was, but
yeah.
But it's just good that they're saying, okay, we messed up, we made the change. Now that, you know, here's a new one that you can get, you know. So
yeah, it's not like it might be their first AAO, but it's not their first. They're not new.
Yeah,
they can handle it. It's not even their first major issue. They had a plating issue with their, I forget what material it was, but it was flaking, the silver plating was flaking off of their blocks.
Okay.
A few years ago, so no, they stood behind the products then. This is a good company.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but there's no reason to like fear that it's not a good product and that they won't handle it.
Oh yeah, for sure. So it's good. Like I said, hats off to them for kind of just because a lot of companies they can just like kind of not really talk about it, and they posted it publicly on their Facebook.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's on their website as well, and they're actively, you know, getting the returns and sending out the new units for no cost at all.
Very good.
Yeah, very, very good. So it's kind of interesting that that kind of happened, but at the same time, they're doing the right thing. So I kind of like that from them.
Yep.
So move on to some storage news. So two very high-capacity drives were announced this week. First comes from Seagate, and this happened earlier in the week. Seagate unveiled a 10-terabyte Helium Enterprise hard drive. So this is the company's first 10-terabyte hard drive. Obviously, huge capacity there.
Yeah.
Obviously, made for enterprise, made for high storage solutions, data center, servers, things like that. So to have 10 terabytes is just awesome. And it's crazy because, you know, hard drives have been out for so long, but we haven't seen high capacities like this. Obviously, the reason for high capacities is because the content and things that we're storing keep on getting larger and larger and larger. So it's good to see this. Obviously, you know, this is enterprise and business-based, so you're not going to see one of these come out for consumer. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense right now.
Yeah. Although, we're getting there. I mean, a lot of people probably have this much storage or more.
Yeah, a lot of people probably have this much storage. But not in a single drive.
No, no, no.
Yeah. And a lot of motherboards don't even support 10 terabyte yet.
In a single drive, yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's cool to see Seagate do this. It was kind of big news this week because it is their first 10 terabyte drive. And, you know, you might see a consumer one come down the line, but not soon, I wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
Just because it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But it's cool to see.
The helium drives are really expensive, too.
Yeah.
So.
So this is, again, this is their enterprise class drive. Yeah. Really nice drive, though. But talking about high capacity, and we thought 10 terabytes was a lot. I thought that was a lot when I first wrote the article. Yeah. This week, we see a 13 terabyte SSD, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
World's first 13 terabyte solid state drive. This one comes from a company called Fixstars, which we don't really hear a lot about because they're not based in the U.S. or they don't sell a lot in the U.S.
I think this might be the first time I've heard of them.
They made some news or last year for another high capacity drive.
Okay.
So this is their 13 terabyte drive. Very good speeds as well. I think it's 580 and 520, so 580 megabytes a second read and 520 megabytes a second write. The interesting about this one is that it's priced at $1 a gig. So if you do your math, that is $13,000 for
way too much.
Yeah. So obviously, again, this is more or less for businesses, for enterprise. It's for, you know, somebody who wants to load a server up with this. Because this is a very high cost. You're going to get amazing speed. You're going to get, you know, everything that you get with the SSD, but it's going to be at a very high cost right now.
I almost think they're too light for this pricing, though, still. I mean, like, if you had come out with this drive, 6 months ago, the pricing would have made more sense.
Yeah, I think it's
still... Even in this server, I understand enterprise is always more expensive, but it's still $1 a gig is just so expensive right now.
Yeah. The thing is, you know, we're thinking about it in a consumer level too. When you get up into enterprise class SSDs that have a lot of the error correction and things like that, they do get more expensive. Consumer drives don't really have that. They don't have the power down the power down, the power down protection where it freezes the cells so that the data isn't lost. If you have a catastrophic power failure, things like that, a lot of drives don't have that. Almost all consumer drives don't have that.
Right.
So you have all of that in an enterprise drive. I don't even know if this drive has that, but
it should
at the cost that it is. I think they're also having that cost just because it's such a high capacity, right? The highest drives that we see are between 1 and 2 terabyte right now when it comes to SSDs. So having, you know, 13 terabyte.
They're out there. They're well in front of the pack.
They also announced a 10 terabyte one as well this week, same company. So it's interesting. They use their own controller, which is, you know, because a lot of these controllers only support such a certain capacity, right?
Right.
Just like the one we talked about, only supported 2 terabytes. A lot of these, so this controller must support very high capacity because obviously we have 13 terabytes. So,
controller.
Yeah, it's great to see this for business. Obviously, you know, the difference in speed when it comes to this is just you know, a huge difference in speed when it comes to a typical hard drive. So to see 13 terabytes, it's only a step in the right direction. I think we're going to see a lot of higher capacities come out this year.
Yeah, and I mean, it will have a trickle down effect in that, like, servers will be faster and things like that. So we'll benefit in a way.
Yes. So definitely cool to see that. Obviously, capacities just keep on getting higher, and hopefully the prices keep on getting lower.
Yeah, which from everyone I talked to at CES, they definitely will be getting lower.
Yes.
Because there's an oversupply of NAND at this point.
Yes, there is. Talking about memory, the official specifications for HBM2, that's High Bandwidth Memory 2, was released this week, and we're getting a nice jump in capacity as well as performance. So HBM1 that we saw on AMD's Fury line of graphics cards, it was limited to 4 gigabyte total and a bandwidth of 512 gigabytes a second. With HBM2, you're jumping up to 32 gigabytes and 1 terabyte a second speed.
Yeah, I'll take some of that. I'll take a 32 gigabyte GPU.
Yeah, you probably won't see the 32 gigabyte in a consumer SKU. You'll see it in the Quadro series, likely. Yeah. Something like that. But you'll see.
Gosh, that's such a step forward. That's incredible.
You'll see 16 gigabyte likely, because the way the Fury was set up was the dies are 1 gigabyte a piece, or the stacks are 1 gigabyte, and you have 4 stacks to make 4 gigabytes. So if the way it's set up now is that you'll have 4 stacks of 4 gigabyte.
4 stacks of 404 a piece, right? 2016.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So four stacks of
simple math.
Yeah. Come on, get your math on that. Dude,
so sick.
Yeah. So you'll probably see 4 stacks of 4 gigabyte making 16 gigabyte total.
Yeah.
They have also reduced the power consumption by another 8%. So it's 48% more power conscious than say than GDDR5.
Yeah.
So really good stuff. Obviously, basically doubling the performance, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think this is going to be the way to go. You'll see Pascal from NVIDIA based off HBM2, and then the new stuff coming out from AMD will be HBM2 as well.
I can't wait to see NVIDIA play with this.
Yeah, so we'll definitely see that as the year goes on here. A lot of cool stuff. Excited, especially when it comes to graphics cards, so...
Super, and I need one now. I need to wait though.
Yeah, I know.
why buy now when you got this? And this is coming. It's almost around the corner. You can almost say it's right around the corner.
Yeah, we'll see a lot of stuff at Computex, I feel.
Yeah. So. For Pascal.
Yes. So our final piece of news is gaming news, which we try to get some gaming stuff in here. Not a whole lot of gaming stuff because it is the beginning of the year, and the games usually come out March.
Yeah.
Ish. For the new year, so. We do have something on The Division, which is a game that I've been following since it was announced almost 3 years ago.
That's a long development time.
Yeah, very long development. Obviously, with that long of development, a lot of people have been following it. And it looks like we will get a beta this month. The game is set to release in March. So we're going to get a beta at some point this month, which is going to be awesome. So
Open beta?
Not sure. Hopefully it will be an open beta because I would love to play this. Just the game mechanics and everything seem really cool. And they put a lot of PR behind this game. So hopefully it's a game that I would like to play and really get into. I'm just really pumped for it. All of the trailers that we've seen so far and everything, it's just made... This is one of the games that I've really looked forward to. And I don't really get into games that much. So this is a game that I'm really pumped about.
Yeah. I don't really get into Tom Clancy games, but it looks pretty good.
It looks really good. Like I said, it's a game that I've been following. So definitely stay tuned. When we know the specifics of the beta, we will definitely let you know and let you know how you can get on and play it. Nice. So yeah, definitely pumped for that. And that is it for our news this week. Not a whole lot of news because it is just post-CES. Everything was really announced at CES.
Yeah.
So coming next week, I'm going to be very ambitious and try to do 4 reviews. So hopefully I will get all of these done. The first, I have a motherboard from Gigabyte, and it's a mini ITX gaming board, which I'm pretty excited. It's a really cool board. It's the Z170N Gaming 5. Again, mini ITX, really cool to see a gaming board in such a small form factor.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff on there. It has everything you would want in a Z170 board. You have a 32 gigabit PCI Express M.2 slot on there. Obviously, support for latest Skylake processors. Has 802.11ac wireless on there. Really cool board. Has the G1 gaming colors. It's really, really awesome board. So I'm definitely excited to test that out.
Is the M.2 on the back?
Yes.
Okay. looking at the front, and I'm like, I don't see it.
Yeah, it's the M.2 on the back. You have Killer E2200 gaming networking on there. It's just a cool board that you can build a really awesome gaming system with in such a small form factor. So I'm really excited to test this out. And, yeah, I'm pretty pumped about it. So
I love Mini ITX.
Yes, really cool. Then we have a CPU cooler from Be Quiet. This is their Dark Rock TF. It is a C-type cooler. Very, very big. I'm really excited to test this out as well. Hopefully, Be Quiet has always had an issue with their mounting system. Hopefully,
hopefully you don't have that.
Hopefully I don't have that problem. I haven't installed it yet. I'll be doing that this weekend. Because their installation on the previous Dark Rock coolers has been kind of iffy. that's the only problem. Great performance I've seen in the other ones, but just the mounting
difficult installation
compared to other companies that make mounting very easy in large air coolers. It just hasn't been the best. Okay. So hopefully they fix that problem. Should be great performance. I believe. I don't know the. This is made to cool the high extreme end. Processors, so it should be really good performance.
Yeah, cool.
So definitely pumped for that. And I do have this cooler massive power supply that seems to be sitting here forever that I've been getting to. It is the V750, which is a really great power supply, and it's very small. It's much smaller than your typical power supply. It's this old ATX power supply, but they've made it a lot smaller, which makes it great for small builds and things like that.
Yeah.
So really excited to test that out. And then finally, I have the Vantech Nexstar MX, and this is really cool. So, you know, we're coming to the point where a lot of people bought those 120 gigabyte or 128 gigabyte or 250, even 240, 256 gigabyte SSDs, and now they're upgrading to, say, a 1 terabyte or an M.2, and they have a couple of these laying around. So what this is, it is a dual 2.5-inch hard drive enclosure. That allows you to raid your drives, and this external enclosure allows you to raid your drives for really fast performance. So if you have old SSDs, or even if you want to buy new SSDs for this, it's a really cool, simple device. Vantech, we've known for years for their external hard drive enclosures, and this one is really cool. Pretty well made too, metal design and everything like that. So definitely pumped for that as well.
Nice.
So that should be the week next week. So you're sick, as we all know. And you've been back for what, 3 days? 2 days?
Yeah, since I got back Tuesday.
Yeah, so
Tuesday night late.
So you haven't done anything super cool?
I went and saw the movie Sisters.
Don't even know what that's about.
With
see a lot of movies.
I love movies. Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
Yeah, I don't even know what that's about.
What? Oh, it's comedy. It was really funny until the end, and then I got dumb.
Yeah. I feel you spend a lot of money on movies.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I'm not. I only go to a movie. Like, I'm one of those people that, like, I'll go see a movie if it's, like obviously, like, Star Wars or something big. I'll go see.
Yeah, I just like going to the movies. I like watching movies. I like everything about movies.
I'm going to go see Deadpool, which comes out in February.
Yeah.
That looks awesome. I love Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, he's a really funny guy.
But I actually started watching a new show last night.
What'd you start?
Called Into the Badlands, which is awesome. The fight scenes in that show are just amazing. It's AMC, which we know for making pretty badass shows in the past 4 or 5 years. Obviously, Walking Dead, things like that. So, it's really, really cool. I don't know specifically the time frame, but it's based in. It's obviously based in a certain time frame where there are cars and things and motorcycles.
Okay.
But at the same time, everybody uses swords, which is kind of interesting. The fight scenes are amazing. The story and acting is pretty good too. I think you would like it, so you should definitely check it out.
Okay.
But besides that, I've just been kind of in my post CES. I don't know, you want to call it depression.
From being back in real life.
Yeah, but we'll have a lot of cool stuff coming up, guys. I have a ton of products in to review, so there's a lot a lot of stuff coming up with that, and then obviously a lot of stuff that was announced at CES will be getting into review as well. So just a ton of that. Obviously, with the podcast, guys, like we have every week, we'll have all of our show notes. So that would be everything that we talked about today. As we go through it, you can go ahead and click on the links and check it out. We are on iTunes. So you just search Think Computers, all one word, and we'll be up there. Just type in Think Computers Podcast in Google. You'll find it everywhere else. You'll go ahead and find it. And until next week, hopefully Derek feels better next week.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll talk to everybody next week.